This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. Happy New Year. We are all back after what seems like an eternity and mixing and matching and schedules and this and that. We are here to start year two of Boomer and Gio, and we've got some Jets head coaching stuff to talk about today, as Mike McCarthy says he's going to interview with the Jets, but there has not been a date that's been scheduled yet. He is going to meet with the Cleveland Browns on Thursday, and that seems to be the place that everybody thinks he's going to end up. There's other candidates out there, but we have talked about experience, getting a guy who's been there before. Will Mike McCarthy actually take the Jets seriously, or is this just one of those things that he's putting on a list? Can be real interesting to watch. The Yankees bring in a shortstop that is not Manny Machado, but they're still on Manny Machado. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing all right, Gio, and I guess we might as well get into it with the Jets, right? That seems to be the back pages today, and seems like that's going to be conversation until the Jets ultimately make a decision. You know, so here's the thing, and we talked about this with Phil on Monday. You know, the Jets should take their time. There's no reason to rush through this. Go through your interview process. Yeah, interview Cliff Kingsbury, even though you know you're not going to hire him. I can't imagine Cliff Kingsbury on the sideline of the Jets going against Bill Belichick. That ain't happening, right? So forget that one. But, you know, still interview him. Give him an opportunity to impress you. Maybe learn something from him. He's got obviously some good ideas. He was Patrick Mahomes' coach at Texas Tech. So, I mean, those are things that, you know, you want to go through the process. Talk to Eric Bieniemy. Find out what's going on in Kansas City. You never know. He may totally impress you. And you say, all right, you could be the face of our franchise. But I honestly believe, and I still believe in my heart, that the Jets need to have a coach of significance. That when that coach walks into that building, he knows exactly how to run a building. Because it may be the GM is the, well, I don't think in this case either, because the way Christopher Johnson structured this thing, it looks like it's going back to where it was with Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, where they're on parallel paths. And I don't really like that, but if that's what the owner decides, that's what the owner decides. But the point being is that it has to be the head coach's building. He has to be the personality. He's the one that's got to ignite the franchise. He's the one that sets the tone for the team. And I do believe after all hiring all of these, you know, rookie head coaches over the last five, six, you know, times that we've been down this road with them since Parcells, it's now time to go back to somebody who does have the experience in running a football team. So I still say that, yeah, while Mike McCarthy could be at the top of that list, I don't necessarily know that he would be my guy. I would have to sit down and talk to him and listen to him and hear him out about his offense and his defense and what he's going to try to do with Sam Darnold. But I still keep my eye on Baltimore because I'm not so sure that John Harbaugh is going to sign a contract extension. And until I see that contract extension, I may have to trade for a coach.
Yeah,
and that's been done before.
Right. If you're the Jets, you want the Baltimore Ravens to lose this weekend because that should speed that process up a little bit.
You would like to think it would. So that I would still keep my eye on that because the reason I keep my eye on John Harbaugh is because I know if he's standing on my sideline, guess what? We got a chance to beat Belichick because he's done it before and he's not intimidated and he's got a history and he too is a Super Bowl winning coach. I can't say that about McCarthy. I can't say that, you know, at least I know I got a guy on the sideline that should be able to manage the game and, you know when to call timeouts, know when to throw the challenge flag, know when to go for it on fourth down and all that other stuff. And he's a Western PA guy. So he knows football. He's, you know, I talked to Coach Cowher on Sunday. I said, does he really want to get back into coaching? And, you know, because Bill was telling me, You know, and I think most people thought that McCarthy was going to take a year off and then get back into it next year.
Well, he's going to get $7 million from the Packers if he does not coach next year. So it's real easy for him to say to whoever is a prospective team that might hire him, either give me $7 million or more, or we're not even starting these conversations.
I'm glad you said that. The thing that Coach Cower said to me.
Captain Coward.
You know, his wife is from Green Bay. Mm-hmm. They have children there in Green Bay. It's not about money for Mike. It's never.
It's a small package. It's not a big package. It's a small package.
Thank you. Well, anyway, it's not about money for Mike. I mean, they live extremely comfortably in Green Bay.
Oh, I'm sure.
He never would have to have another paycheck, and they could still live the way that they live there. But the point being is that, you know, he wants to get back into it now. That's why he's taking these. That's why
a couple of good jobs that are open, and the Jets are one of them.
And the reason why he would want the Jets or the Browns are because of the young quarterbacks that are in those respective towns. So I asked Coach on Sunday, "Do you want to get back into it?" And he goes, "Well, I haven't really spoken to him personally over the last few weeks, but if he's taking interviews, then I'm telling you he wants to get back into it." I said, tell me, Coach, do you think that his personality, the way that he does things, his reputation and all that stuff, does it fit the New York market? You know, because we have this whole thing about the New York market. He goes, let me tell you something. I respect and admire this guy so much that I would even consider coming back and running his defense for him.
Wow.
So he was just messing around, of course. But he was trying to make the point that he does think that Mike McCarthy is a hell of a football coach. Now, remember, they come from the same area out there in Pittsburgh. And sure, you know that area better than anybody. You tell me what you think of Mike McCarthy.
Oh, I think that
your team has played against him now for, what, 15 years?
Right. Well, I mean, as far as a personality fit in New York, he'll be fine. I mean, this is a guy who the Green Bay Packers aren't just some podunk team in the middle of nowhere. They're the Green Bay Packers. I mean, and to be the head coach of the Packers means something. So it's a more prestigious job than the Jets' job is. That's for sure. And he's been working with the highest paid quarterback in football, one of the biggest stars. So I think he can handle that. The thing that scares me is, and I'm not sitting here breaking down the film of every one of his play calls, but what you hear from the people that do is that Mike McCarthy hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot
and
offensively over the last decade or so in a league that is changing constantly, and that was the demise of him in Green Bay. That was the thing that led to the relationship fallout between him and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, here's the thing about that whole thing. So he had a quarterback that tends to play better when he's running around all over the place just making plays.
Yeah.
You know, extending plays. You hear those types of words a lot about Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure it was frustrated for Mike when he would call a play and a play would break down and there was a guy open, but Aaron didn't want to throw it there.
Sure.
And he took off somewhere else and threw it down the field and made some spectacular play. It's hard to coach a guy like that if that guy doesn't want to be coached. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
So I think that like Brady and Breeze are willing to be coached. They're willing to be criticized by their head coaches. They're willing to be called out in front of the team because they get who they are. They're selfless. They're championship caliber players. They deal with it, and they make things and people around them better because of the way that they absorb that. Aaron Rodgers does not absorb that very well. Aaron Rodgers is a handful. He's a terrific football player who is like Patrick Mahomes. It's must-see TV. You got to watch him. He throws it better than anybody. He's awesome. He is an explosive play waiting to happen. But normally, it's a broken play. And when a broken play happens, that's great. But that's not what they practice. That's not the plays that are called. So sometimes, it's the quarterback who is not going through the progressions and dealing through the offense that is put out in front of him. He's just out there making plays. So I would also say, like, I know that Manish wrote about Todd Monken, the quarterback coach from Tampa Bay. We talked about him. He is a fearless play caller. Yes, I don't necessarily know that he is ready to be a head coach. But if you told me that Mike McCarthy would hire Todd Monken as his offensive coordinator, I'd say, now we got something.
Right, yes.
You know why? Because I got Mike McCarthy as the CEO kind of head coach, the guy that will own the building over there in Florham Park.
You're going to want to call the plays, though? I mean, this
is the
problem.
Well, it doesn't matter. Does it at this point?
Well, I think it does. I mean, I think it does when you're talking about trying to bring in a big offensive coordinator.
Well, if he's going to bring in the offense coordinator, then the offense coordinator has to have the ability to do his job.
Mm-hmm.
That he's not just some figurehead guy. Like, you know, I don't believe that Nagy, Peterson, or Eric Bieniemy, for that matter, were figurehead guys. you know, I know Andy Reid loved to call the plays, and he always has that big sheet in front of him, and then he always goes over there and sits next to Patrick Mahomes while his defense is out getting its ass kicked. Mm-hmm. He's sitting on the sideline right. talking to Patrick Mahomes, and sure. I get why, because that's his kid, that's his baby. That's what he wants to get the most out of that kid, and he knows how to call plays. But the guys that were underneath him, Peterson, Nagy, and now Eric Bieniemy, all have to install the plays. They're the ones that draw up the plays, install the plays. They meet with Andy, and they are significantly involved in that part. That's why Eric Bieniemy will get a job. I'm almost certain that he'll get a job.
Yeah, so and it might be. I mean, the Jets have to bring him in, and they have to talk to him.
They will,
I think they think
should.
They will. But so I guess the question I have is there's been so much momentum between McCarthy and the Browns because of the GM out in Cleveland, John Dorsey's relationship with Mike McCarthy. The second that he was fired, it seemed like this thing was going to happen, and the momentum really hasn't stopped there. You know, if McCarthy is off the table, now you're looking at these other candidates we're talking about. How long do you wait on the John Harbaugh situation? Because there's so many damn openings out there that the last thing the Jets want is to wait on this situation in Baltimore to resolve itself. Then all of a sudden it does in favor of the Baltimore Ravens. He stays there and the Jets are left with slim pickings.
Well, I would say this, that the Cleveland Brown job to me is better than the Jet job right now. Simply because you have better players in that city than the Jets have. They also have a lot of draft picks. The draft capital is pretty good. They have a lot of money to be able to spend under the salary cap. So they're very similar to that of the Jets. I do think that Baker Mayfield is ahead of Sam Darnold. I think Baker Mayfield is a guy that is obviously proven that he is going to be the light of that town in the next couple of years. So it's very attractive to go to the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, the Cleveland Browns have been a joke over the last 20 years. But prior to that, this is a legacy team. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like the Green Bay Packers. So because of Baker Mayfield, because of Myles Garrett, because of Nick Chubb, because of, you know, all these young players that they've been drafting over the last 4 to 5 years, now this becomes a very, very prominent position that any coach would love to have because they know that they can be successful because they got the quarterback. The number two job out of the 8 jobs that are available is the Jet job for the same reasons. But I think that the reason the Jet job may be a little bit better than the Cleveland job in the eyes of some coaches and some people is because you're not going to have a meddling owner.
Yeah,
you're not going to have the Jimmy Haslam.
Who's been a nutcase out
right,
there.
Well, he's been impetuous. He's been, you know, very impatient. And I think John Dorsey has finally got him to listen to him. John Dorsey is a simple football guy. He likes to talk a lot, kind of like McCagnan and Heimendinger and all these guys. They love to talk behind the scenes and give out their little tidbits to the media, which really sucks.
Right.
That crap never comes out of New England. And you would think that these people in the NFL, the other 31 franchises, would understand
that. Yeah, they'd want to model themselves
because,
after that.
Because
yeah.
you have morons like Tremaine Johnson, Antonio Brown, and these guys just blowing up their teams without even realizing what they're doing. That would never happen. And if it ever did happen in New England, guess what? Goodbye.
Right.
Goodbye.
Yep.
I don't care. You know, and that's why the Jets, I believe, do need to have somebody like a Harbaugh or a McCarthy. Because they're the ones that come with the pedigree. They're the ones that will take over the building. They're the ones will know how to run a freaking franchise. You're not bringing Cliff Kingsbury in here. You're not bringing Lincoln Riley in here. You're not bringing the next great college head coach in here. You're just not.
Yeah, so
because it's not going to work against Bill Belichick. The reason that they are so good in New England is they've been running roughshod over this division for 20 years.
It's been pathetic.
Why?
Pathetic.
Because the other three teams can't get their heads out of their own asses.
Just a ton of coaches. It's a revolving door with the other three teams. It really is. So I guess I would the way it feels right now that both McCarthy and Harbaugh are more unlikely than not.
Though. And here's the other thing. You know, I know that this is like Christopher Johnson's first foray into all this other stuff. Even with the Jamal Adams crap. I want this guy. I want that. You know, hey, Jamal.
Well, for people who don't know, so Cliff Kingsbury. So you started hearing the rumors about him getting an interview with the Jets. Jamal Adams ends up following Cliff Kingsbury on Instagram. Someone points out, oh, I guess Jamal Adams is putting a vote in for Cliff Kingsbury, and he took the screenshot and said, "You're damn right." So basically saying that he wanted Cliff Kingsbury to be the head coach of the Jets.
You know, as much as I like Jamal and as much as I think he's a terrific player, it's like button it up, man. You got no say in any of this. This is not about you. We're paying you to play strong safety for our football team and to be a leader on the field. That is it. You do your job. It's that simple. That's the mantra in New England. That should be the mantra for the other 31 other freaking teams, that you do your job. You don't discuss your injuries. You don't discuss coaching candidates. You don't have any influence. You're not here to tell us what to do. We are here to pay you to do your job, and that is it. Yeah. You know, and I would say the same thing about Odell Beckham Jr. too. You know, it's another one. Yappity, 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 yapping, and no play. You know, just keep yapping and yapping. I mean, and this whole thing out in Pittsburgh with Antonio Brown,
embarrassing. Yeah, we'll spend some time on that. Yeah, I know. And Ben did his interview yesterday that he does his weekly spot, and he ended up taking the high road. He did throw out there, though, that he's tried to reach out to him. But, yeah, I mean, this is what happens, though.
It's like he's a baby. I mean, like, we gave you, how much did we give you? 4 years, $70 million or $68 million or something like that?
Yeah, I think he's legitimately lost his mind. I mean, honestly, he's like a totally nuts, off the grid. This whole year has been this. Remember, I mean, this entire year has been one thing after another.
Did he not have a great game down in New Orleans?
Yeah, he did. It was awesome, right?
And then they're coming back, and they have to win against the Bengals. And he decides to get into a fight with Ben Roethlisberger in practice.
The timing of that is very, very curious. The timing of this is very curious because that was the same day that Juju Smith-Schuster was named the team MVP.
Oh, come on.
You played yourself.
Yeah, you played yourself is right.
And apparently,
what are you doing?
Apparently, that was the beginning of him losing his mind that day in practice. Things spiraled from there. And the next thing you know, I mean, you want to talk about a bad teammate. I mean, this guy probably had.
Although you said he was a great guy when
he was.
Out there.
He was.
And that was him, by the way, saying, you played yourself. We had him on with, I think, Emmanuel Sanders of the Broncos at the Super Bowl.
No, that was the Facebook Live thing.
Oh, remember? That was the Facebook. Remember, did we have him and Emmanuel Sanders on out at the Super Bowl?
No, we had Emmanuel Sanders with Josh Norman.
Oh, Josh Norman. That's who it was. Okay.
Yeah, so that was from the Facebook Live that he did after the Chiefs playoff win in the locker room. Remember that whole deal? I mean, that was crazy.
Is that where that came from? Okay.
Yeah, when he was broadcasting live from the Steelers locker room when nobody knew he was doing it. Yeah, he was. I remember him when he got drafted. He was a 6th-round pick, and he was great. All smiles, working hard, out with the jugs machine after practice. I mean, everything was did Dancing with the Stars, big smile on his face. That's who he was. Now he could be the worst teammate in football. I mean, honestly. And then Ben Roethlisberger's probably thinking, how in the hell? Like, this is.
So let me ask you this question. I know Mike Tomlin does his press conference today, right? His final season press conference, whatever.
Yep.
Did he suspend him from the game or did he just deactivate him from the game?
Well, the latest that, and we'll find out the answers today. And Ben spoke yesterday. I wish I would have heard some of the other questions that I wanted to hear asked to him, but I don't know. I think that he showed up to the game, Antonio Brown, thinking he was going to play. And he did not. Now, I don't know how Mike Tomlin.
The head coach probably said, enough's enough already.
That's what I would think.
But you missed practice. You didn't show up to meetings and you think you're going to play. You can't.
But you just can't. Right. That's what I hope it is, that he finally put his foot down with that. But it could also be like Antonio Brown showed up thinking he was going to play in the game and then decided, nah, maybe I'm not. Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that yet because he's so nuts. But I think we'll get some answers to that a little bit later.
I mean, it just goes to show you, honestly, how hard it is to deal with today's athletes. Yeah. I mean, with the social media impact on all of these guys, the amount of money that they're making, the fact that they feel like they're untouchable, and you know, now he wants a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers, which would have to happen, I guess, after June 1st to mitigate the salary cap implications for the Steelers.
Which makes it more difficult because it's after the draft, it's after free agency. Something after June 1st is harder to do when it comes to a trade, but that's the only time they'd be able to do it because the dead money goes from like $21 million down to $7 million after June 1st. So I don't know, but he's requested a trade. We'll see what happens, but that will not, unless the Steelers want to be on the hook for $21 million of a guy that they're not going to be on the team, you're not going to see him traded anywhere before June 1st.
It's such a disappointing thing because he's a great player. But he's obviously, you know, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, to act like this, I mean, you're making millions of dollars and you're going to walk out on your team? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. This is like the 6th or 7th incident this year, too, that he's had.